Welcome back to the Ed Morrissey Show podcast. Joining us, as always, one day later than usual, Andrew Malcolm, the Prince of Twitter, the Regent of RedState.com. Andrew Malcolm, master of all things, joker of none. I don't know.
Right.
Whatever.
Never mind. My wife won't believe any of it. good to be here. Here we are already in the month that we ignore New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, I've already ignored all the resolutions I made because I didn't make any. So I was able to ignore them pretty easily, as it turns out. Let me ask you this. I mean, today, as we're recording, this is January 20th. This is the 1 year anniversary of Trump's inauguration for this term. And maybe we should reflect a little bit on, 1 year in. The guy has had a consequential presidency. Love him or hate him, he's had a consequential presidency. This is, you talk about first year agendas. I don't think I've seen a president achieve this level of a first year agenda, except for maybe Reagan.
That's a good point. But Trump has done it in a hurried up, hectic fashion that got a lot done, and the opposition couldn't keep up with him except to go to court. And because of his first term successes, he's got a lot of court successes in this term.
Yeah. I would say also that I don't recall it being as litigious in Reagan's first year.
I mean,
I was 17, 18 years old, so I don't know if I would recall that very well, but
yes, you were just a child, and I was out working for a major newspaper. No, it was nowhere near that. There was not the concentrated opposition. They had just been spanked with the failed Carter presidency. Reagan was very amicable publicly. The only thing they could shoot at him was that he was old and would take naps and so on. And that stuff didn't stick. As he just, in wonderfully Reagan fashion, he would make jokes about it. He would make jokes about Thomas Jefferson. As Thomas Jefferson told me one day, and it was wonderful. He did the same thing in the 1984 debate with Mondale when he said, "I'm not going to hold my opponent's youth against him," which completely and immediately deflated the age issue for him. He was at the time the oldest president. And Mondale told me years later that he was laughing. You could see it on the tape. He was laughing, but inside he was crying because he knew at that moment he had lost the election.
Yeah. Yeah. And, George H.W. Bush too. I mean, he knew he had lost the election a couple of weeks before the election took place.
Yeah. But he told me that backstage at an event in New Hampshire in 1999. And I said, "How did you get up in the morning?" And he said, "Well, you never know in politics, things change. You got to keep trying. You got all these people out there working for you. You can't let them down." But yeah, you're right. They know a lot of stuff before we do.
They do. And of course, George H.W. Bush at the time was a sitting president, so he had a day job to go to, right? So, I mean, Walter Mondale was not in office at the time. He wasn't in office at the time. He'd been out of office for 4 years. And so that was the only thing he had going on for him was the campaign. So yeah, that's
and he carried on the tradition of vice presidents losing when they tried to run right away.
Yeah, it's Nixon interesting Nixon too.
Nixon eventually won, but Gore didn't.
People have this idea that being vice president is the step up to the presidency, but
No,
it usually isn't. By the way, there's another thing about the vice presidency we should mention because it just broke. it's on the intertubes as we speak. Usha Vance is pregnant. They just announced it today. They're going to have their fourth child while they're in office. So
how about that?
Yeah, that's usually vice presidents are older. So I don't think that before. I'm not sure.
No, but he's, what's his name? Obama, he was younger. Clinton was younger at the time. And if Vance gets elected, he's got a long life, even if he gets two terms after that. And I don't think that's a bad thing to have a younger president. We've kind of been more recently electing grandpas to be presidents. And
well, yeah, yeah, we have. I have a sneaking suspicion that no matter which party wins the next time, it's not going to be a grandpa who is elected as president. Just interesting.
It is.
By the way, Donald Trump cannot list this as one of his first year accomplishments. I just want to make sure that everybody's clear on this. This is not on Donald Trump's list of first year accomplishments, and don't think otherwise. But to get back to that, though, Andrew, the first year, I mean, immigration, he's really turned, within weeks, he had the border secured. Now, we're, of course, very controversial ICE enforcement actions in Minnesota and elsewhere. Foreign policy has really changed. He has managed to bring peace to several conflicts and might be extending another one, actually, in coming days with Iran. He's taken Maduro out of power in Venezuela. He's basically, as he's putting it, running Venezuela, not directly, but basically by saying, either do this or I'm going to be very unhappy. I mean, this is, I don't think 4 years with Biden brought as much change. Again, whether you like it or not, I don't think we saw that much change with Joe Biden in terms of America's position in foreign policy, in terms of the enemies and opponents on the world stage.
We saw a lot of destruction in terms of American image. The Afghan withdrawal was a clown car, a disastrous one. And China and Russia watched that very closely, and so did Iran. Trump got back in, and that sort of shakes things up, makes things unpredictable. Being an unpredictable president can be a good thing, not always, but it can be a good thing with enemies, because they're not sure what you're going to do. And that's what brought North Korea's little leader to the table. He was the third or fourth president that wanted that, and he got that, Trump was, and got him there. But being unpredictable is not so good with allies. That's what Trump's playing on now.
Well, I mean, and this kind of gets us to the topic of your column this week, which is Greenland. As we're speaking, Donald Trump is in Davos, Switzerland. He is demanding that Denmark and basically cough up Greenland one way or the other. And our allies are very unhappy about this. Donald Trump has threatened to impose tariffs on European allies that don't work with him on this or try to obstruct it. I kind of get I absolutely get the security issues in play with Greenland. And this is not the first time that America's tried to buy Greenland. We've actually tried several times over the last 160 years. William Seward, as you will recall, was trying to buy Greenland.
As you wrote, yes.
Was trying to buy Greenland at the same time he bought Alaska. And failed on one, succeeded on the other. And there's been a number of attempts since then. I think Eisenhower may have been the most recent, but maybe Reagan talked about it. I'm not sure. But America's always had a big security interest in Greenland. Do you think that this is going about it the right way, though? I mean, I'm really concerned about this because I think that we could have gotten what we wanted by lease. You know, we could have leased parts of Greenland that Greenland really doesn't care about anyway. And left the population to Denmark, you know, but.
You're exactly right. Well, I think you and I may be right now exploding our chances of getting in the Trump cabinet. But the manner in which he does some things is brusque and offensive to friends who think that you don't need to be that way. Denmark signed an agreement in 1953, which allowed us to have an air base there after we had thousands of troops there in World War II. So, you know, it wouldn't take much to expand that, like you said, either into a lease agreement or a larger agreement. It's a wasteland. It's three times the size of Texas, frozen solid, 80% covered by an ice sheet, massive ice sheet, with fewer people than were at any NFL game last weekend. So it's an empty, frozen space. Trump, for whatever reason, has raised the level of his concern or professed concern about China and Russia taking it over. It wouldn't be a hard place to take over militarily. The Allies feared Germany would do it in World War II, which is why the U.S. got such freedom to transit planes there and have troops there. To threaten NATO over Greenland is a couple of steps too far, in my opinion. Now, I may not know all the reasons he has for wanting Greenland, but I do know that the method he's going about it, the peremptory method, the bullet in the china shop, is not the way to do it. And I think he could have accomplished more with no damage by being more, shall we say, negotiable about it.
Yeah. You trap more flies with honey than with vinegar, I think is the old saying, you know, in diplomacy that matters, right? I mean,
yeah, you can create animosity that wasn't there. I mean, he's acting like a bully. And sometimes that works, you know. It works with Iran. You gave them 60 days and they didn't negotiate. And on the 61st day, he pummeled them. That's good. He took out Soleimani just before the end of his first term. I have a connection in the Air Force who told me that you may remember during Trump's first term, Iran shot down an unmanned drone, U.S. drone, in the Straits of Hormuz.
Yes.
And the Pentagon suggested a retaliatory mission, which Trump okayed. And the planes actually took off. They were going to take out some Iranian radar stations. And while the planes were in the air, Trump said to CENTCOM, how many casualties do you think this is going to cost Iran? And the answer was probably up to 200. And Trump immediately canceled the mission. He said it was out of proportion to the offense. And the planes turned around in midair and came back. And I know someone who was in on that, and they were very impressed. He's not the shoot from the hip guy, but sometimes he talks, his lips talk like shooting from the hip.
Right. You know, that's not necessarily a great thing. I mean, it really isn't. I mean, there are times when you want to, where the madman theory of foreign policy works in your favor. I don't think Greenland falls within that sphere. I get that they want to do the Golden Dome, and I get that there are security issues around Greenland. I get that it's a lot closer to the United States than people realize because they look at the map on flat surfaces rather than looking at it on a globe, which will tell you, makes it pretty clear that Greenland is strategic. It's within the U.S. strategic sphere, but we don't have to own every piece of land that's within our strategic sphere either. I mean, we can work with Canada. We could work with Denmark.
Yeah. I mean, we've had bases, and we have, back in the 50s and 60s, we had radar bases all over northern Canada. And for decades, our air forces practiced air combat over Canada because a lot of Canada is empty and it's safer. We practiced with Canadians in Arctic warfare. There was a time, I forgot when it was, the 60s maybe, where we sent a nuclear submarine through the Northwest Passage. And we didn't tell Canada, and they were offensive. I mean, it's I don't know what the equivalent would be, but it's like some other power cruising through your home waters. The Arctic is Canadian. It's the only country that separates us from Russia. So it's an important place. Fortunately, Seward bought Alaska, took advantage of. the historical connections are just amazing to me. Russia, when the Ottoman Empire back in the 1850s, when the Ottoman Empire was weakening, Russia attempted to take Crimea. the way it did in 2014, just annexed it. And this might sound familiar to some people. France and England thought that this was the first push of Russia to move into Europe. And so they fought, and that was the Crimean War, the charge of the Light Brigade, and in connection with the Ottoman Empire, they defeated Russia. So the Tsar had a lot of debts, and William Seward took advantage of that and bought Alaska for $7 million, which is roughly $1 billion today. So even at today's prices, it was a bargain. And nobody knew at the time about all the vast natural resources. They thought it was just a place to go trapping, and it had a bunch of Inuit people. Seward, yeah, there was a conspiracy to kill a lot of Lincoln people, not just Lincoln. John Wilkes Booth killed Lincoln, but he had other conspirators who also got hung in the end.
Right.
But one of them got into William Seward's house and wounded him severely. So he was weakened. And then the world, being the world it was, even without social media, was mocking Seward so much that he just let the Greenland foray perish. But fortunately, he had already acquired, we just took it over, Midway Island in the Pacific, which seemed irrelevant at the time. He wanted to build a commercial U.S. network all around the world. It seemed irrelevant in the 1800s. However, it turned out to be the major turning point in World War II at the beginning of the end of the Japanese Empire,
right,
when we owned Midway Island and kept it and lured the Japanese fleet into attacking it. Because we broke their code, we knew where they were going to be, and I think we sank three or maybe four carriers at the time.
Four carriers, got all four. Yeah,
and that was the end of the Japanese naval dominance in the Pacific. So these little things, and they're not little in the end, but these little things like acquiring these territories can turn out historically to be a big deal. And I get Trump's interests. Truman offered to pay $100 million in gold bullion in 1946 to buy Greenland, and they were turned away. So there's another way.
That was real money, too.
Yeah, wasn't it? Did you see the price of gold is over $4,400 an ounce now?
Doesn't surprise me. People are investing in precious metals.
Wish I'd kept that.
That's okay. What was that line from Forrest Gump? They put my money into some fruit. Turned out to be Apple computers. Yeah. And they say I don't have to show up to work anymore. So that's good. Some fruit company. Put my money in some fruit company. And they said, now I don't have to show up for work anymore. That's good. Just to wrap up on this, because I want to make sure that we close the loop on the first year. I think the issue is going to be now. First off, maintaining momentum on all of these different initiatives, because I think he's moved the line on the entire agenda with the exception of healthcare. And he did release something last week on that. It's more aspirational than a plan. But I think he's counting on House Republicans to fill it in the reconciliation process. So that's a second year agenda item. But he's advanced the ball on the front lines of all the rest of his agenda items. And I think the key is two things in 2026 is one is to keep up the momentum. And the second thing is to sell it because always tricky, especially when you're doing consequential things, you end up breaking things and ticking people off. And immigration seems to be there's a risk there on immigration, I think, and on Greenland for that matter.
You're absolutely right. Selling it turns out to be very, very important. Biden couldn't do it because he was incoherent and senile. And Trump, he could do it. But some of the things like Greenland and the tariffs, they seem kind of peremptory. And despite Susie Wiles encouraging him to sell economics, he's kind of done it so far half-hearted. The next two or three months will determine the midterm results in November. The spring of the election year is when the impressions get cemented in. And I wish he... arrogant may not be the word, but I wish he devoted more time to convincing people than pushing them.
Yep, I agree with you. Really quickly, your other commentary this week was, I think Thursday, right? Eat your beans. Yeah. They're good for you. And I almost want to sing the song, right? You know, beans, beans, good for the heart. The more beans, the more
good fruit. Yeah,
beans,
right.
Beans, yeah, you know, yeah. This is about the revising the food pyramid for the umpteenth time.
What a crock. I mean,
it's a crock.
Yeah, who pays attention? I remember we had the food pyramid. I never paid any attention to it, but in grade school we had the food pyramid on the wall. And who cares? I don't know anybody. Well, I don't know that many people, but I sure as hell don't turn to the government to see whether I should eat beans or what kind of fruit, or is it better to have this kind of bread? I mean, that's a crock. And I don't know why they do it. I guess maybe to look like they're doing something. But I didn't take Michelle Obama's advice on what to put in the school lunches. And I'm not going to take Robert F. Kennedy's Jr.'s advice on food. It's just... It's a waste of time. So I tried to have a little Andy Rooney moment with that.
I was going
to
say, you're doing it, Andy Rooney. I mean, you and I like to do. Who really looks at this food pyramid anyway? I mean, who thinks the government can tell them, you know, that this sort of bread is better than that sort of bread and you should have grains? Who even pays attention? The problem is that food policy is sort of based on this. And a lot of people took these guidelines seriously, especially in reducing fats. You know, the other thing that happened this week is, or over the past week, I should say, is that Donald Trump had this whole milk initiative. You know, Robert Kennedy was part of that. And what happened was in the 1970s, somebody had the brilliant idea of trying to get the fat out of milk because Americans were taking in too much fat. Well, the problem is, and they've discovered this, they've known this now for quite a while, which is that milk fat actually is pretty good for you, especially if you're going to consume milk. Because what milk fat does is it slows down the breakdown of sugars so you don't absorb it all at once. So you don't have a bunch of people getting sugar highs off of milk with none of the nutritional value. And, yeah. You know, I discovered this quite a while ago. I have to have, you know, lactose-free milk because I'm lactose intolerant. And fortunately now there's all sorts of great options for that where you're getting real milk, but they've taken the lactose out. And that works for me. I can deal with that. And I've always gotten whole milk because I have maintained for years and years that it was a dumb idea to pull beneficial fats out of foods, and that what you should have been looking at are the added fats, right? All the fats that are getting put in to improve tastes and stuff like that. And it turns out that that's the case. So really, this is just common sense. Eat foods as they are. In moderation. Don't drink milk all damn day if you're an adult. It's good for you when you're a kid. It's not bad for you as an adult, but it's not as necessary because your bones aren't growing. And when you get older, you know, maybe a few years past where you and I are at, Andrew, it might be better because it is a good source of calcium and we're losing bone mass in those years that are still a few years off for both of us. But But yeah, I completely agree with you. And I get really frustrated with this too. And I really wanted to do my Andy Rooney thing here too. But honestly, folks, Andrew's better at it. So go over to redstate.com and check out his commentary because it's really good. And it's a particular issue for me. I think that the food pyramid is stupid. It's been stupidly manipulated over the last several decades. And that's one of the reasons why you have an obesity issue in America is because the government was giving out the exact wrong advice. Eat more carbs, eat less protein, eat less fat. Dumb.
Dumb. That's the headline.
Dumb.
You know, in journalism school, in writing class one time, we had a teacher who was a professional, and he was trying to teach us to write short, sharp, punchy leads. So he would have a pretend news conference. So he pretended that he was a police chief announcing a murder. And so the lead for my story on his fake news conference was dead. That's the way they found it. Short, sharp, and punchy. And I got an A+. That's the way they found him.
Yeah. You didn't bury the lead, so to speak.
No, I sure didn't. Exactly.
All right. Well, that brings us to the jokes of the week, because we're just about through the podcast here. So that was the joke of the week. You and I doing Andy Rooney, our jokes of the week. But I do have one joke of the week. I know you don't have one for today, but I do have one for you. And it's slightly off color from jokesoftheday.net.
Oh, here we go again.
You're going to have to excuse me for this.
Morrissey spelled with an X.
Not quite an X. Close, but not quite an X. All right. So John wakes up after the annual Christmas party with a pounding headache, cotton mouth, and utterly unable to recall the events of the preceding evening. After he goes to the bathroom, he makes his way downstairs, and his wife's got a pot of coffee, pours him a cup. And he says, "Louise, oh my God, tell me what happened last night. Was it as bad as I think?" And she says, "Even worse. You made a complete ass of yourself. You succeeded in antagonizing the entire board of directors, and you insulted the president of the company right to his face." John said, "Well, he's a jerk. Piss on him." She says, "You did. So he fired you." Ace, John thinks for a moment, says, "Well, then screw him." She says, "I did. You're back at work on Monday."
Oh, jeez. Oh, Oh, hell.
Hello.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my goodness.
All right. Well, with that.
Can I do a quick promo? We're talking on Tuesday, and this will be up tomorrow. On Sunday, this coming Sunday, I will have another Malcolm Memories at Red State. And it has a few fun items in it.
Well, it looks like we might have lost Andrew there for just a second, but definitely be sure to check out Andrew's stuff over at redstate.com. And it does look like he has dropped off. We'll just go ahead and close it up there. We will see you again next week. We're going to be on Wednesday again next week with Andrew, so be sure to check us out then. Andrew Malcolm is the Prince of Twitter at AH Malcolm on Twitter. And of course, redstate.com, where you can find all of his VIP and non-VIP memory posts. So go check those out. Thank you for watching.